This is Sports Talk with Joe Smith, live from Yogi's Grill and Bar at the corner of 10th and Indiana. And now, here's Joe Smith.
So back at our Tuesday night, home away from home tonight, after lots of travel, the two nationally ranked swimming and diving teams, Hoosier style, to catch up on with veteran head coach Ray Lewis and the outstanding sophomore freestyler Blake Peroni joining us. Football team, well, they're going bowling for the first time in 8 years. Herald Times Hall of Fame journalist and the columnist for the football team, Andy Graham, will be joining us a little bit later in our conversation as we welcome you to Sports Talk. And we are live from Yogi's here at the corner of 10th and Indiana, along with our producer Jim Ritter, high atop our One City Center studios downtown, and our on-site producers Joanna and Mike Glascott. All of our sponsors here on a Tuesday night. Hi again, everyone. Joe Smith and Ray joining us, Blake joining us in the, well, I tell you what, Ray, men's team 12th, women's team 11th. You just got back. Glad to see you. And I heard you were a little under the weather out in Seattle, but welcome on board, and things are going well for the swimming teams.
Really well. And, you know, we like where we sit right now, and it was very rainy in Seattle. And I was sleepless in Seattle, as you mentioned.
Well, we're glad that you're wide awake here, meeting with us and talking a little about the men's and women's teams. We'll talk to Blake Peroni here in just a second. But, you know, Ray, we always start with the women first, and you had a young freshman dip into the pool once or twice. And I like cream and crimson as my colors, but I also, when it comes to swimming, like the gold. And as in gold medal, Lily King, she certainly headlined things. Talk a little about the newcomers mixed in with your veteran over on the women's side.
Well, what's neat about Lily and Blake Peroni here is they're Blake's a sophomore, Lily's a freshman, and they're both on the U.S. national team, which is not easy to do when you're a varsity athlete. It's primarily dominated by people that are out of college now. And, you know, what Lily did out in Seattle was pretty impressive. Blake was there with me. She got second to Yulia Efimova from Russia in the 100, narrowly, you know, missing the win there. And then she's primarily a sprinter. And then was able to take the victory kind of unexpectedly in the 200. And has really given herself yet another event to possibly qualify for the Olympic Games for the U.S.
Well, that is coming up, and, you know, 16 is going to be just around the corner, and then we think about Rio de Janeiro and everything out in front of the U.S. of A. In addition to Lily, Kennedy Goss, Miranda Tucker also posting some wins in that ATT National Championships.
Yeah, the three young ladies that we had out there did a great job. Kennedy had three A finals. Miranda was 2A finals, you know, in fourth and fifth place in both breaststrokes, just behind Lily. So, yeah, for just a five contingent group, you couldn't have asked for more.
You know, this is your 14th year overall, but I think it's well over a decade now where you've handled both the reins. Does that become, is it any easier? Does it become a little bit more difficult to handle both within the time frame of the season, men and women?
You know, it's the hardest thing I've ever done, to be honest. And
well, you're doing a heck of a job, you and you know, the rest of the staff. Outstanding.
Well, it's a good staff, and we wouldn't be anything if we didn't have good coaches. And Mike Westfall's been here for 13 years, and we now have Dennis Dale, who's a Big Ten veteran, and it all comes down to that. But you know, it's been, you know, when we took over in 2002. You know, we were basically at the bottom of the Big Ten, and nobody wanted to come to Indiana anymore. And, you know, we've worked our way up, and I think we're really on, you know, a jumping-off point to be in an elite-level top five NCAA team. And, you know, just as importantly, as far as the way Indiana operates in swimming and diving, a team that puts people on the U.S. Olympic team. Mm. We haven't done that since 1976, and we have five athletes that are training at IU right now that I think have a legitimate chance to do that.
Well, one of them sitting right next to me, and that's Blake Peroni, the Hoosier-born young man who was Big Ten Freshman of the Year last year. I think I had you on at Yogi's, Blake, last year, maybe before the Big Tens or maybe after the Big Tens. I didn't. okay, but you look familiar anyway, and you're a Hoosier kid,
yep.
And you have an opportunity right now. You've qualified for the Olympic trials, but talk to me a little about your season. You're just back as well as coach from Seattle.
Yeah, well, the season's been going really well. We started off with a few dual meets and, you know, traveled around a lot. We went to Auburn and other places, and we saw a lot of great in-season times from a lot of the people on our team that, you know, we typically are used to seeing more towards the end of the year, and especially at this last week, we had our own Hoosierland invite where we saw stellar times from a lot of our team. So it's been really exciting.
Well, you're a freestyler. That's your strong suit, and you were in that 200 free championship event. As a matter of fact, you were in three, from what I gather, from Scott Burns, who was telling me out in Seattle. How was the competition in that 200 free final?
Well, I mean, U.S. Nationals is the highest level of competition that you can get, you know, in the United States. So, I mean, it's amazing to be racing that kind of competition and those people.
Well, it is, and, you know, you're coming off that stellar freshman year that you had. I do know he was Big Ten Freshman of the Year.
You're right.
I got that right. I thought I had him on the air. But anyway, that's not real important. What is, you're here, and you've got the Olympics in your sight, but, of course, you got the rest of the season as well. Blake, talk about, you know, moving into your sophomore year. Outstanding you were breaking into the collegiate beat last year. Where'd you want to raise the bar? And talk to me a little about how you've progressed in the season today personally.
Well, coming into my sophomore year, you know, I have expectations and things. I know how dual meets are going to go, practices. You know, it's not so much new to me as it was my freshman year. So I got to take all of that information I gained last year and apply it to this year and, you know, more like help my teammates be more well-rounded and things like that. And also this year I'm focusing more on nutrition and things like outside of the pool.
How important is that? You know, I just talked to Nate Jackson, who's having a heck of a year on the wrestling mats for the Hoosiers. And he said the same thing when it comes to nutrition. You're in a different sport, but one that certainly a test to being at the top of your game, both on and off the in the pool. But how important is that nutrition?
Right. Well, I would say nutrition is, you know, a very crucial part in any sport that you do.
Sure.
But, I mean, swimming even more so with all the aerobic work that we do. You really have to have a well-rounded, you know, you need all your food groups and everything to be intact so that you can train at the level that we need to train at.
Talk to me a little about the rest of the team over on the fellow side. You were talking about, and you've beaten Cincinnati, Kentucky, Tennessee, and Wisconsin in the duels, and running up against the likes of Auburn and Texas early on. But talk to me about the rest of the team. How's the chemistry? How are things here sitting pre-holidays?
Oh, everything's great. I mean, you know, going back to the meet that we had this last weekend, if you had looked at the results, the times are just out of this world. And, you know, that speaks to a lot of the training that we've been doing. And, you know, back with Mike Westfall and Jeff Kostoff, all the distance swimmers and how much time they've dropped and the kind of times that they're putting up really speaks to what we're doing.
You know, Ray, it's interesting, too, and as we mentioned, the men are ranked 12th and the women 11th in the current national rankings as we sit here in the middle of December. But, boy, there's so much left. I mean, we're just getting started. The fun's just continuing here.
We're only at the halfway point.
Yeah.
But, you know, what's neat is we had a staff meeting this morning, and we yesterday morning, and we decided to pick a Big Ten team for the women and the men. And for only the second time that I've been at IU, on the men's side in particular, we'd be leaving scores home.
Wow.
People that can score in the top 16. And when you start to do that, you are a serious team. And I've not seen this kind of depth since 2006 when we won the title. And I'm not saying we're going to win by any stretch, because Michigan is a very good team. But knocking on the door, narrowing that gap quite a bit. And I like it, and we really don't graduate a lot this year as well.
I'm looking at that. That is just outstanding. And
young
another
team.
Thing, too, and we would be remiss, as you were mentioning, you know, Mike Westfall and Jeff Kostoff, and that is that diving coach of yours that is not too awfully bad, Drew Johansson. How's he doing?
You know, we just got a report back from Australia. James Connor for the second year in a row, won all the boards down there at their national championship. And so I think James is, you know, pointed toward making the Australian Olympic team. And I asked Drew, I said, is he as good as you thought, or is he exceeding expectation? And Drew looked at me and said, you know, this guy is really, really good. And coupled with Michael Hixon, we got the best 1-2 punch in men's diving that there is. And then on the other side, we got Jess Parada, who won the national title as a freshman.
Yeah,
you can't say enough about the job Drew's done to reload and follow a guy like Coach Jeff Huber, which isn't easy to do.
No, it's not. And we're talking swimming and diving with the veteran Hoosier head coach, Ray Luz, along with freestyler Blake Peroni, who's in his sophomore year now. Blake, you grew up in northern Indiana, if I recall, Chesterton.
Yep.
You won a few titles up there, didn't you,
before yeah, you had... Yep, that's true. With my high school head coach, Kevin Kennel, we won the Indiana State title my junior and senior year.
You did, and it was an obvious move when Ray came knocking at the door and offered you a scholarship to ship down to Bloomington.
I mean, not really. I mean, it was always good to see college coaches come in and watch a high school practice and things like that, so... I was happy to see it.
Why the move to Indiana? Why come here?
I mean, it was just the best fit for me. You know, I did several recruiting trips. I took four trips, and you know, after each trip, I just came home saying, like, I don't know if I could really see myself spending 4 years of my life there. But after my trip to Indiana, I just knew instantly. I was like, yeah, that's the fit for me. I could see myself living there.
Well, no question. And the CBAC, an outstanding facility, the Councilman Bensley Aquatics Center. You know, Ray, talking a little about the international influence, too, and some of the guys that have fitted in so well. You mentioned the diver from Australia, but boy, you've got a lot of international flavor mixed in as well, and these guys are flat. They know what it's about.
Yeah, we're an international university, so
well,
Ali Khalifala from Egypt, that guy is on fire. And, you know, Andrzej Tovkar from Slovenia, you know, really couldn't be prouder of those two sprinters from Dennis Dale's group.
How good, Blake, is Tovkar? He's a shorter distance, isn't he, in the free?
Sometimes he does the 50, but he also swims, you know, the 200 and 100 like I do. So he swims in Dennis's group, so we don't usually train too much together, but we race with each other all the time in dual meets and stuff like that.
Well, I tell you, they're really coming to the forefront, no question about it. And Andrzej, he was out there with you, and he did quite well, winning the B final in the 100 free and also the C final of the 200 free. And, Scott was telling me, you said, when he got feeling better after watching him, that it was his best races of his career to date.
Yeah, you know, he had a rough start. It's hard to come across the globe and go to school, and you know, Andrzej's in his junior year now, and this is the most comfortable I've seen him, and it's really bringing joy to all of our eyes to see Andrzej swimming so well and confident and, you know, just comfortable. This is a home now for him.
Blake, talk to me a little about the Olympic situation and what it would mean to you, obviously. And Ray just mentioned it has been a few decades since Indiana University has had a U.S. of A. Olympian. What would that mean? And where's that process right now? And how do you incorporate that goal that's down the road in Rio with what you're doing right now, trying to bring Big Ten championships and a high NCAA finish to Bloomington?
Right. Well, I mean, it would be a dream come true. You know, it's something I've always, you know, thought of since I even started, you know, swim lessons when I was about 7. I was like, wow, it'd be cool to swim in the Olympics, you know, like that Phelps guy and stuff like that. But, I mean, you can't skip over steps like, you know, like our conference meet, Big Tens and NCAAs and stuff. You can't just say, oh, I want to make the Olympic team when you got these two huge meets in front of you. Kind of taking it a little, like, one at a time, you know, while you're swimming with or training with people like Cody Miller and Zane Groth and, you know, Lily and all those people. I mean, it's just great because we're all focused on the same goal. So.
Well, you are indeed, and that's to make the team and to bring home the gold. That is the ultimate, obviously. About 22 minutes past the hour of 6 o'clock. Sports Talk here at Yogi's, talking swimming and diving with with Ray Luz and Blake Perona, the outstanding freestyler for Coach Ray. And we'll be back, continue our conversation a little bit later. We'll talk, well, high school hoops and that Pinstripe Bowl the Hoosiers are headed to in New York at the end of this month. When we come back, you're listening to Sports Talk. We're live from Yogi's. Welcome back, everyone. Sports Talk on a Tuesday night, middle of December. Well, I guess the early part of December. Spending some time talking Hoosier swimming and diving with Ray Luz and Blake Peroni. And Blake was telling me while we were in the break that his high school career wasn't a bad one. But I hear that your granddad. Maybe I don't know how many times Ray came knocking at your door trying to get you to Indiana in the recruiting process. But anyway, tell us the story. Your grandfather went to med school, and that's what you're kind of following his footsteps?
Yeah, my grandfather was a physician. He also came to IU. He's since retired now. But my mom is also a nurse practitioner in the emergency room. So, yeah, like medicine is kind of in my family, and I think that's what I'm leaning towards so far. So.
You know, earlier you were commenting, and we were talking about freestyling, but you started at the age of seven. Just immediately fall in love with the sport, and the rest has been history?
Not really. I wouldn't say that. I mean, I kind of struggled when I was younger, but I had a season that was just a blowout season when I was 14 years old. It was a long course age group meet, and I won, you know, every event I swam. But before then, I had never won a age group state title. But I think it was right around the age of 13 and 14 when I started to fall in love with swimming.
Yeah, and that also was the time you started winning a lot of championships. What, you win your first state title as a 15-year-old or so?
Something like 16? That, sophomore year.
Huh? Highly decorated at Chesterton. Now, how many state championships did you wind up winning?
I won one my sophomore year and four my junior and senior, so nine total.
So, Ray, toward the recruiting process, did you see some of those state championship events at all? Were you able to look in or anything?
No.
Okay.
It's always during men's Big Tens, but
Coach
Westfall got to go a lot because he's typically gone to the women's Big Ten meet, and then he stays back and trains the women's team, and he always goes up there, and he's been, for the vast majority of the time, our recruiting coordinator. So Mike was well aware of Blake, as we all were.
Well, let's talk about agenda items as we sit here. Finals are coming up at the start of next week. That's always a grind for any student athlete on any team at the level of which we play and study. But beyond that, Ray, let's take the women first. What needs to be improved upon? What are some of the objectives as you flip the calendar year to 2016?
We got a lot of women now sitting right at the borderline between the A and the B final at either Big Tens or NCAAs. So, you know, we need to make up a little bit of ground to end up in the A final at either the NCAAs or the Big Ten meet, because that's what wins championships. You know, it's just that's where all the big points are. And then, you know, we need to elevate ourselves on the relay. On the relays, our medley relay for the women, I think, could be really, really good, but we haven't quite put one together. Part of that's because we split the squad. You know, we had our top breaststrokers out in Seattle, so I'd love to see the women's relays start to come together they're capable of.
You know, you had that Hoosier Land Invitational kind of coinciding. You guys were over up in Washington State, but what you hear about, some of the efforts that were turned in at the CBAC this past weekend in the Invitational?
Well, Blake had his phone out, and he kept coming up to me, and he goes, "Did you see that? Did you see that?" And we broke the school record in the 400 medley relay, and it was, like, shocking how fast they went. And it just really, you know, uplifted our spirits, you know, all the way out on the West Coast. We broke two school records at this point, and that's really rare for men to do on not a full amount of rest. You know, we do this tapering process, and we just took a real short rest to prepare for these meets.
Well, I'm just glancing real quick, and it looks like Purdue's hosting the Big Ten Championships this year for the fellas, and of course the NCAAs are down south in Atlanta. That'll start on the 23rd of March and 2/24. It's a short month, but Blake, talk a little about where you're headed and the rest of the team and what needs to, you know, be done looking at it from the men's side here once we get into the new year?
Well, like Ray said, I also think that our relays could be even better than they are right now just by putting them, all the pieces together at once. You know, last year at Big Tens, the 400 free relay finished with a 251.4 or something like that. But this year I really believe that, you know, we might, you know, be able to get under the 250 barrier and things like that. But looking forward personally, I think I need to look at a few more sprint techniques and just work on a bit more shorter, fine-tuned stuff.
How fast are you right now in the 200 free? What's your time? What's your best time?
My best time in season?
Yeah, yeah.
135.9.
That's a lot of giddy up there in the pool there. So, well, fellas, we wish you well and happy holidays and best of luck to you in the exams and look forward to talking to you. Now we can say that you've been at Yogi's and sat here, and we'll have you on a little bit later in the season. But the best to you, Blake. It's nice meeting you, son, and continue to do what you've been doing both on and out of the pool.
Thank you very much.
Blake Baroni and Ray, I know Mackenzie's swimming for the Panthers. You want to get down to the south side against Edgewood. And how's she doing here early season?
She's,
I know,
doing,
you're awfully proud of her.
She's doing great. It's senior night, so... You know, that'll delay the start of the meet a little bit, but
wow.
Yeah, it should be fun. She's having a great time, and she's in her sophomore year. So
talk about time flying. I remember when she broke in as a freshman. This is her senior year, huh?
No, sophomore.
Sophomore, okay.
Yeah.
It's senior night. I got you.
Yeah, it's senior night.
I was going to say.
Yeah.
It couldn't have been. I mean, I know that.
I know
I'm getting senile and very, very forgetful, but I don't know. Wow. She flew through Bloomington South. Hey, I'll let you get down there. Thanks for coming on. My best to Drew, and we'll have those divers. And boy, the points ought to really, with all the depth that's coming to the forefront, and now with the divers in good situation, big things ahead for 2016. We look forward to talking a lot more here at Yogi's Swimming and Diving. Ray, thanks a lot, man.
Thanks, Joe.
Ray Lewis joining us along with freestyler Blake Baroni, and when we come back, we will talk a little, let's talk football bowl. We haven't done that in 8 years, and we will with the outstanding Hall of Fame columnist for the football team. Andy Graham joins us, and we'll talk a little football, and we'll talk a little high school basketball as well when we come back. We're at Yogi's, as always, and you're listening to Sports Talk, and we'll be back in a couple of minutes. Welcome back, everyone. Sports Talk live from Yogi's at the corner of 10th and Indiana. Joining us, Hall of Fame journalist from the Herald Times, been there for decades, Andy Graham, who is the columnist covering Indiana University football, and his job there not over, and he's all smiles like everybody else with the Hoosiers going bowling here later this month. And of course, he is doing a great job, as he always does, with high school hoops in the wintertime. So we're going to kind of kill two birds with one stone here, Drew, but how exciting is this to see some justification for a bunch of guys that never quit and had their backs to the wall, had to come up with eight solid quarters, both on the road, and we're talking about Kevin Wilson's program. What's that mean?
Well, it's a huge deal, obviously, and when you cover a team and get to know people, clearly one maintains professional objectivity, but once you get to know people, sure, you're happy to see hard work rewarded, regardless of the context. In this particular case, speaking entirely selfishly from a professional point of view, it's nice to write something a little different. It's nice to have some professional duties on tap in December for Indiana football. This is a, you know, when you get to know a kid like Nate Sudfeld, you know, a little bit. I saw Rick Pizzo up at the Big Ten Network today say, well, if I had a daughter the right age, that's the kind of guy I would like to have her bring home. And that's right. So, you know, regardless of school affiliation, you like to see good things happen for good folks. And this group of football players has worked awfully hard. They've gone through a lot of adversity. You know, Sudfeld's shoulder stays intact last season. They might have gotten to a bowl last year. They had a very tough six-game skid that involved a lot of really close games against elite opposition. And yet they still, as you noted, came back those final 2 weeks when they had to win two Big Ten games on the road. They did so, and it wasn't just winning them, it was the manner in which they won them that I think was a very encouraging thing for people who care about Indiana football. They're down 21-3 at Maryland.
Yeah.
They responded with a 44-7 run. They beat Purdue for the third straight time for the first time since 1947. It's been a long time. Indiana won four straight that back then. But it's been a long time coming, but very well deserved, I think, for this group of players and this coaching staff.
No question. I can always identify with 47 because that was the year I was born and or 68 years ago, just kind of making that a feat in its in itself.
Yeah,
but
I'm an old guy, and my mom was.
We asked kids what it took to be a dad. This is what they had to say.
A father is always present. I mean, what real father figure can you have if they're not there?
In order to be a good dad, you need to love your son. You need to put gas in your car so you don't break down in the middle of nowhere. And...
But we're back, and we're sorry about that. A little...
Technical glitch.
A technical glitch. No, hey, you can't beat live radio.
No, I was just saying, I'm in my 60s. My mom was in school at IU back the last time they had a winning streak over Purdue of that length. Her father knew Bo McMillan, and she knew a lot of guys on those great teams in the mid-1940s there. Made her an incurable IU football fan for the rest of her life. But that's how long it's been. And so this team has a few things it can hang its hat on already, but... It would really like to capitalize. Talking to the guys, I think the Hoosiers are still hungry. They would really like to capitalize on this bowl opportunity and finish with a winning season. It would be the first winning season since 07 as well.
Yeah, no question. And that coincides with the last time they were in a bowl and win a bowl. And you know, that's something that Kevin told us back on Sunday night, Andy, when we gathered at Hinkey Hall of Champions. It's nice to be invited and to have the name affixed to a bowl. But it means so much to go there, have the preparation, and to win the doggone thing.
Yeah, Duke is a very good team. I mean, Cutliffe's done a great job of coaching down there. Kevin made a note that that's a program that IU kind of looks to emulate a bit. They've gone to four straight bowls, Duke has. And frankly, they should be 8-4 because if one remembers the debacle at the end of the Miami game.
What was that, 8 laterals?
Yeah,
I lost count.
A play that never should have counted. This is a very, very good Duke team. It'll be a good opponent to play, a challenge for Indiana. But to do it on a big stage in Yankee Stadium in New York City, I think it's a really great opportunity for Indiana. If these guys want to be remembered to sort of concrete that legacy as a team, the group of guys that kind of shifted the direction of Indiana football, they really want to win this game to keep the positive vibe going into the offseason as well.
And, you know, with all of the bowls, and I think, my golly, I don't know if you have the number in the top of your head, but it just seems to me that when we played in the Insight Bowl, and again, that was in 07, there were only 19, 20, 21 bowls, and now there's twice that many. So it's not diluted, so to speak, but that being said, an opportunity in this one, and I love the way you started the week with your New York theme and the story you told about your boys in having an opportunity to go to Yankee Stadium back last summer, and here you are going back in a few weeks to cover a bowl game.
Yeah, it's New York City at holiday time. It's a 3:30 p.m. game on a Saturday with not a lot of other games scheduled around it. You're going to get a good. It's on ABC television. It's a big opportunity for Indiana. If Indiana has made a big deal about the players have said the coaches have coached us like we're a winning team. They've the coaches like we're a confident team that we could play with the nation's elite teams. If they go in with that kind of sensibility, the way to come out of it with that kind of sensibility is to put your stamp on it and to have a win, to really solidify that. The stage is as big as it gets in terms of the venue, the history of the venue. even though it's a new Yankee Stadium, it's right there in the same footprint of the old ballpark, basically, right across the street.
Right across the street, isn't
it? And it's 93,000 square feet of Indiana limestone in the altar, in the outer shell, and it's a great place to, you know, sort of, I think, make a statement for yourself and your program and your football team.
Well, and that's exactly where we're headed right now. And obviously we'll be seeing here over the course of the next few days, hopefully soon. I know that Fred and Glass and Jeff Keg and Coach went up to the New York City really early this morning to attend the New York Brass, the Yankees, and the New Era people that have put on this this bowl game. And did you hear anything through the social media how things went today in that regard?
Well, there was a little bit of jocularity, actually. The Fred spoke his piece without actually. Fred kind of spoke his piece without formally introducing Kevin, and that got a little notoriety. But that's, if people are reacted that negatively, that would be much ado about nothing. Fred and Kevin, look, I mean, Fred has made it, without saying it in so many words, he's made it very clear they're working on an extension on Kevin's contract right now. That hopefully will be done pretty soon. And I think that recruiting is ongoing. A lot of the positive vibe about Indiana football is continuing. They had a tight end for Nassau Community College since Kevin and those guys were out in New York, in the New York area today. Ian Thomas, the tight end for Nassau Community College, committed today. That's on the heels of a very, very important recruiting announcement yesterday with Richard Legault, the JUCO quarterback from Cisco College in Texas, announcing he's 6'6", 240.
I saw his.
He can wing it. He's got some pretty decent mobility for a kid his size, too. Good athlete. Sounds like a very respectful young man. I heard a radio interview with him yesterday. He sounded terrific. Really good student.
How's he pronounce his last name?
I think Legault.
Legault.
But I don't hold me to that because I've heard different versions of it. In any case, it might be Legault, it might be Legault, but I think it's Legault.
Well, it's going to be
one
nice thing to find out, inheriting a big guy.
But he's a guy that, you know, has the same size and a fairly similar skill set to Nate Sudfeld. And he'll have they don't bring in JUCOs to have him sit. He'll have every chance to win the job this spring, and it's good that he's enrolling in January and can go through spring practice.
Well, and we're just getting started. I mean, these are guys that are committing right now. Just the fact that Indiana is playing its 13th game, you go win it on the 26th, and that's going to open up more doors, especially in-state, Andy. And,
You
know, that's the neat thing about football recruiting with the national letter signing date being in February. I mean, and we've done this. We've cashed in on a lot of good kids late in the process, and it's just the fun is just starting.
Yeah, this staff has shown that. They tend to start slowly because they're calculating and they're cautious, and they make sure it's the right kind of fit, the right kind of kid that they really want. But as Kevin noted in that Sunday press conference, he said last year, by his count, they lost two kids that were committed to Indiana and gained nine kids who had been committed verbally elsewhere. This staff tends to finish really strongly in recruiting, and now they've got additional ammunition. They've got an expanded case to make now because progress was clearly shown. They got to 500. They got to a bowl. And as you say, especially if they win the bowl and have a winning season, there are a lot of really prominent in-state recruits currently committed to other schools that I know for a fact are still considering Indiana. So how December goes matters.
Well, and again, along the lines of the Pinstripe Bowl coming up on the 26th, the Athletics Ticket Office sends me a note. They're accepting phone orders now from 9 until 5. They started Monday and will do so Friday. So if you want more information, the best place to go, really, I could sit here and give you a lot of numbers that you're not going to remember, and I might get them wrong anyway. But that being said, iuhoosiers.com, they got the great website. It just continually is evolving with new, fresh information. And all orders will be filled and allocated using the IU Athletics Priority Point Policy. But But the deadline now, if you're out there listening and you happen to be on that list, to have your order allocated, it's based on your existing priority point total. And all of that has to be in, and you have to get the information in and order your tickets by 5 o'clock tomorrow. So FYI there. But all that information is on the website.
Well, you know, and I would note that the Pinstripe Bowl has sold out in its existence every time.
What's the seating?
About 48,000 for football is what I think. And they're expecting another sellout or near sellout. The other thing I would mention is that Fred Glass made another little investment in football when the athletic department is going to cover the majority of the student ticket price. So the student ticket price is going to be $10, which is what it is here for a home game, instead of $45. So the athletic department is covering the balance of that. So any students that want to make that road trip to New York City, the ticket price got a lot more affordable because Fred Glass and the athletic department stepped in to do that.
Well, I tell you what, we want to spend some time on high school hoops, and we'll do that in a second, but I wouldn't trade these 12 guys, these all Big Ten honorees, and that was a record number from Griffin Oaks all the way down to Jake Reed, who won the Sportsmanship Award, but in between, some very good pieces in the offensive interior front with Jason Spriggs and Dan Feeney, and you know, Indiana is bringing an excitable team that will generate enthusiasm on that particular last Saturday of December, Andy, because they can flat put points on the board.
Yeah, and I think Duke can too. I think it should be an exciting game. I mean, I think it'll be a fun game to watch. Weather permitting, there should be a lot of offense.
Hey, weather permitting, by the way, I heard from some of your fellow scribes. What are you hearing about the press accommodations? It's not like we're going into the George Steinbrenner Memorial Suite to do the football game. I know where we're going to call it from the end zone. Now, what about you guys?
I don't know yet. We don't. There's no seating yet. I'm not even positive I'm going. I mean, we'll have to wait and see on that. But I do think that it's an open air press box. I hear that, and they say they're going to have heaters in the press box, but it's open air for baseball. And of course, a lot of broadcasters such as yourself, you want the open air because you want the crowd ambiance and everything else going on out there coming over the airwaves. But so it's going to be interesting. And generally, New York tends to be a bit more clement in the winter than, say, Chicago. It won't necessarily be completely freezing.
At least it's not Wrigley Field.
But nevertheless, I do remember, I think it was just last year, but Penn State played Boston College in the Pinstripe Bowl, and it was snowing. They were playing in the snow, and so we'll have to wait and see how that goes.
Well, it's interesting. Any early word on what the HD plans on doing with the coverage as we get a little closer? Anything over and above, a normal game day situation in Bloomington?
There's there's planning going on, but I can't tell you exactly what all. But I'm sure that we will have some special stuff ready. It's only the second bowl bid since 1993, so yeah, I'm sure we'll have something cooked up.
No question about that. And it is Andy Graham joining us, the Hall of Fame journalist, sports writer. He covers as a columnist Indiana football and has for years. And when he finds time, and his time is taken up by a lot of different things, Andy. And high school basketball, one of your loves. We're early on. Going into the start of Conference Indiana season, we've got North South, Edgewood, maybe not the records overall, although Edgewood's off to a decent start, but I'm not going to say North is struggling and South, too bad they went cold Saturday night, because I did the game Friday night and they were hot as heck. But how do you kind of look at it overall, the boys' view, which you cover in the winter?
Well, as you say, the it is early. I will say this, of the 10 teams in the HT coverage area, the combined record so far is 27-13. There are a lot of teams. Bloomfield's 4-0, Litton's 3-0. A lot of teams have started very strongly in our coverage area. Lighthouse Christian 6-2. Brown County's had a nice start. Their only loss is to Eastern Green, which is undefeated. They've had a nice start. So there are a lot of really – we're fortunate in this area. I think the level of coaching is very high, and I'm not saying that just because I know these guys. I've watched a lot of basketball in my time. There's a lot of good basketball teams. North, is going to be fine, in my opinion. I think there's a lot of talent there. They've got a new point guard. Sean Rutter moved in from Texas. Still figuring it out. He went 0 for the ball game at Center Grove. He's a pretty good shooter. That's not going to happen very often. The only real difference for South at Floyd Central, from my point of view, is that Floyd Central shot really well, and South did not.
Yeah.
It was
a game of opposites.
You know, they actually played hard and played fairly well in many ways. And Floyd Central was just pretty good and had a really nice shooting night. And at Center Grove, it was the same deal. North actually, you know, had good moments in that game and played hard and was up, I think, 20 to 10 or 21 to 10 or something like that. And then Center Grove just opened up from three-point range, and including really long three-pointers, started pouring them in. And, you know, the opposition right now for Bloomington North is shooting like 860 from the foul line. They're shooting almost 50% from three-point range. And sometimes you have to just tip your cap to the
teams
to
you're
the
playing on that night, yeah.
And because Bedford North Orange was really hot. And Andy Hodson, Coach Hodson, knew going into the season that his team was going to have to get better defensively and have to work out some defensive things. But he thinks the physical ability capability is there for that.
And mentioning physical ability, Musa Jallo's put on some muscle weight, and that young man, after two games, Andy gave me the stats here, 28 points in his first two games. We'll do the Cougar game, by the way, on Saturday night. John and Terry Stoltz will, and John will join me from the Southport Fieldhouse Friday night. And South and Southport will open up Conference Indiana play. And you mentioned Bloomfield. They're 4-0, and that's who Edgewood plays on Saturday night. Edgewood's scoring a lot of points, aren't
they?
They are very well about. Look at that. Almost four guys in double figures.
And Bloomfield and Edgewood both scored exactly. They both averaged 82 points a game in their two games last week. They scored the exact same number of points. And, they're scoring at a very high level. In the Southport-South game, I mean, you know, J.R. Holmes rather jocularly referred to them as the Southport Celtics. His former assistant up there is doing a heck of a job. So that's going to be a happy game. South's going to be fine. Edgewood impressed me in their only loss. That was at South. And they lost by 18 and still impressed me. I mean, I really think there's a really good season on tap for Edgewood potentially. So I think the Monroe County teams are all going to be fine. And the area teams, there are a lot of teams out there in the area that are often very strong starts.
Well, we enjoy your coverage, Andy, you and the entire staff, you know, and keep up the good work there. And looking forward to writing leading up to the bowl, and that is a big deal, as we have an opportunity to talk football relative to a game situation for a long time, 8 years in the month of December. Thanks for coming in, my friend. Andy Graham joining us, and we'll be back to close things out here on Sports Talk. We're live from Yogi's. Talking football, don't forget the Bloomington Boys and Girls Club. Bill Mallory, the most winningest coach at Indiana U. Man up to make a difference Thursday night. Starts at 6 over there on South Lincoln. And by the way, it's indoor event, but they're selling bleacher seat tickets for $40. Give them a call or go online, bgcbloomington.org. Our employee of the week at the Shortstop Barbecue Train is Brooke Piper. Our producer tonight has been Jim Ritter. In the Zone, Dave and Glass, your phone calls tomorrow. Don't forget IPFW and Tom Crean's Hoosiers tomorrow at 7 o'clock. We'll be on the air with Southport and South Friday night. Terry Stoltz, John Callahan with the Cougars and Evansville Wrights. They're ranked in the state. Doubleheader action on the airwaves. You've been listening to the Sports Talk on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Good night, everyone. Have a great week. You've been listening to the Sports Talk.